Hey everyone, this amazing ESO Network show is brought to you by our fine sponsor, Amazon.com. Please remember to shop Amazon for all your geeky needs, no matter what time of the year it is. All you need to do is go to ESOpodcast.com/ESOAmazon or click on the Amazon banner on the ESO Network webpage to go to our e-store. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. Okay, that's enough of me babbling for now. Now on with your regular scheduled show.
Hello, Marvel Universe! The Earth Station MCU podcast is your home for all things related to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Join our debrief as we discuss Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, upcoming and past favorite Marvel movies, cosplay, comics history, toys, games, interviews, and all things MCU. Whether you're a hero or a villain, a new viewer, or have been reading comics since you were a kid, there's something for you on Earth Station MCU.
Hello, and welcome again to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. I am the host, the monster, or as Siri would say, what's my name, Siri?
You're Montgomery, but since we're friends, I get to call you Captain Spicy Wiener.
Yes, Captain Spicy Wiener. But that's not going to be the name of this show. That's a different show altogether. So, this is not like my sci-fi news or the movie reviews I do with Mr. Gene, but rather, it's a rewatch series. And the whole idea about doing rewatch is that I wanted to do a series of podcasts in which I look back at a movie that I hated at the first viewing and want to rewatch it, but with the goal in mind of doing research about the production and to get some behind-the-scenes information and basically rewatches with fresh new eyes. So, with my analysis of my brilliant and superior mind, I will answer this simple question. Can you rewatch this movie again? So I do have a clip of a pass or a nay. So basically, I'm going to play a clip from Time Bandits, Give Back What You Have Stolen. Well, no, Return What You Have Stolen. And if it's a pass, then I'm going to be playing the Ace Ventura Alrighty Then. So basically, it's not a high bar to pass because it's either you lost time or you really wanted to watch this again. So again, I'm going to give that at the very end my thumbs up or thumbs down about this series. So with that said, what am I going to be watching? It's going to be The Green Lantern by Ryan Reynolds that came out in 2011. So, please remember, everyone has a right to like what they like, but this is just my opinion. So, let's begin with this.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh,
this is a question for Ryan. What does it feel like to say the Green Lantern oath?
Oh, so cute.
It sounds a little like this. In brightest day and blackest night, no evil shall escape my sight. But those who worship evil's might, beware my power. Green Lantern's light.
Oh, yeah. Good times we all had at Comic-Con watching him do this. It was fine. It was actually very appropriate. The fact that he got it right would have been, you know, a disaster if he got it really wrong. So you really can't fault Ryan for really being really enthusiastic in doing this project. Now, having said all that, let's start off with some news about what happened, or at least how this all came to be. So right off the bat, we have the director. His name is Martin Campbell, who did a couple of James Bond movies. We did GoldenEye back in 1995 with Pierce Brosnan, and Casino Royale 2006 with Daniel Craig. Now, I like Casino Royale, maybe the first, 20 minutes or so, great. But the whole card game, bored to tears. And even GoldenEye faltered towards the end. So it's okay. I'm not really complaining, but compared to what was done before, and the reason why I picked Green Lantern, because I was looking at the cover in my library, and on the back it says Greg Berlanti. I'm mispronouncing his name. No, it's Greg Berlanti. Sorry. So he was hired to write and to direct. And this is back in October of 2007. And this movie got delayed over time. And basically they brought him in, Martin, to be brought in to direct this movie. Even though they're using pretty much Berlanti's screenplay. And I will talk about that because I did read that screenplay. So that's also some news there. So, aside from, we have Ryan Reynolds as Hal Jordan / Green Lantern. This is also converted into 3D. So, even though the phase is kind of still with us, not as much as it used to be, but usually that whole post-conversion method from a movie that was shot in 2D into 3D really doesn't work most of the time. Another factor, too, we also had the X-Men First Class and Super 8, the movie by J.J. Abrams. It came out 1 to 2 weeks prior to Green Lantern. So pretty much after that, it wasn't really much in the way of competition since it came out in June of 2011. So it had enough room to kind of not worry about the competition. But after pulling in about $50 million plus on the first weekend, it dropped off dramatically on that second weekend. So it did poorly in the theaters. It was budgeted for $200 million for the production of it and grossed $220 million worldwide and domestic combined. So that tells you that they lost big time on that movie. So Warner Brothers, as a result, canceled all plans. And, of course, later on, they're getting their act together that DCEU, the DC Extended Universe, is going to be bringing back the Green Lantern, but the core in 2020. So nothing with Ryan Reynolds, nothing with Green Lantern, starting from this point for another 3 years. So behind the scenes, the thing that started off back in 97, Kevin Smith was approached because he had just written the Superman Lives screenplay with Tim Burton, which, again, you got to watch that documentary. It's a really interesting story to view, because if you wonder how that gets made and how close it got made and the wrong direction it went, that's a cautionary tale. And basically, looking at Green Lantern, it's not that bad in that sense that it was completely misguided. It's just a lot of different things that just went into it, such as, again, you picked up Kevin Smith, who really said there are better people out there that can do this project better than me. So that passed. At one point, Quentin Tarantino was offered a chance to write and direct. How bloody would that would have been? Who knows? Robert Smigel also was approached to do a writing on assignment with Jack Black, of all things, as the Green Lantern. Really, Jack Black? Okay. I'm of the mindset that Michael Keaton, comedic actor, played Batman. Everyone lost their minds when he became Batman, was offered that role, but he astounded everybody. I don't see that with Jack Black in any sense of the word, but whatever the case, it never happened. Thank goodness. So after that, we have David S. Goyer, who was also given a chance to write and direct a Green Lantern and a Flash movie, but he opted, you know, not to do it, which is kind of good. But the closest one, and again, in researching this, an actor named and writer named Corey Reynolds wanted to do a Jon Stewart Green Lantern movie. Not with Hal Jordan, but with Jon Stewart. Now, the sequels would have been the Green Lantern Corps and, of course, Justice League, and Hal Jordan would have appeared in that as well. So that was really interesting. But that's when Greg Berlanti, who, if you watch any of the DC shows right now on TV, Supergirl, The Flash, Arrow, Legends of Tomorrow, those guys that are part of that group got kind of their first chance really on doing their superhero. Now, reading the script, they put in lots of things that are slightly different than what we saw on the big screen, but they really are, to the nth degree, comic book nerds, in which they put in, instead of the Parallax character that we see in the movie, we see a character named Legion, and then I'll talk about what that is in the morning. In the morning. In just a bit about that. So from that point on, you know, Berlanti was going to, again, direct. He's going to have written this out. But I still don't know why he was forced out. So we bring in Martin, and Ryan is still attached to the project. And at one point, Martin Campbell wanted to have Bradley Cooper play that role. So it was not necessarily the best of times between the two of them, because there were animosity, basically, you know, making Ryan do several takes, even though, you know, he might have been fine. There was just that kind of extra push, a little, you know, kind of like, I don't like you, but I'm going to make you dance, monkey, that kind of thing. So I get that. And I think that's what maybe was something why Ryan's performance wasn't the greatest. Now, having to jump forward to what he did in Deadpool, which is a much better product, I don't fault now Ryan for what he did, considering what had happened behind the scenes. Because again, a lot of the lines that that was in the screenplay that actually made it into the movie, and at first you think, oh, it's just Ryan just kind of improvising a lot of the lines. Like, no, it's actually in the screenplay. So Ryan is, in essence, that character that we see in the screenplay and in the movie. So it's not really a fault of his own, but it's just more of the execution, which is the director of that. So that's the one thing that I'm like, oh, okay. So I give Ryan, you know, a little bit of a pass here to some degree. But the other casting choices also were at one time Chris Pine, who, you know, was Captain Kirk. Sam Worthington, who was in the Terminator Salvation movie and in the Wrath of the Titans and the Clash of the Titans franchise for a bit. Jared Leto was also considered, even Justin Timberlake and Brian Austin Green. So I'm like, okay, that's interesting. I don't see anyone now, considering the movie's been made, to have done at least a decent enough job in that role, considering that we're going to go with Jack Black at one time. So just leave it at that. So Blake Lively, who plays in this movie the love interest of Carol Ferris, also is a decent enough character, but nothing spectacular about it. But They at one time considered Ava Green, Kerry Russell, Diane Kruger, and Jennifer Gardner to be in that lead. The Jennifer Gardner bit, I would have, considering what Elektra, the solo movie, was all about, I wouldn't have want her in that role to begin with. Not that Jennifer Gardner is bad, but considering the limited use of Carol Ferris in this movie, it would have been a waste of her talent. But considering what she did with the Elektra movie and that direction, completely horrible. So let's talk about the screenplay. Again, the major change is instead of Parallax is Legion. I had to actually look up who the hell was Legion. And Legion, I guess, was in the comics back in the 1990s in the series called Emerald Dawn. And this dealt with Hal Jordan. It's similar in its tone as far as the character. It does come in contact with Abin Sur, who, you know, has that initial fight and has to go to Earth. And the ring finds on his behalf the one who is worthy of the power of the Green Lantern. So there's nothing that different from what Parallax was like. The only difference is that Legion is not like the Parallax character, in which it was a guardian that was looking for that alternative source of power, which is using the fear, the yellow ring of fear, in which that became his power. He became the fear of yellow, so to speak. So the other thing about the script, too, is that the version that I read by Greg also had Alan Scott. Now, if you're a true comic book fan, you would know who the hell is Alan Scott. So if you're not, it's okay. But Alan Scott is the original Justice Society of America Green Lantern. So I love that character. I actually have one of his pictures on one of my t-shirts, being much older. So it's kind of reminiscent of me, and I kind of almost do that myself, the way he looks in that picture. But in the story, he appears to have had, quote-unquote, the ring before. And I guess it would have been explained in the sequels, but I'm like, okay, because he talks to Hal about, yes, I know, I've been down this kind of road before. I know what you're going to be doing. It's in good hands, blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, really? And there was no previous mention about this. That would not have worked, in my opinion, to introduce a character like that. These are comic book nerds, and I love Alan Scott. But the logic of having him have the previously been a Green Lantern, that would have been kind of like a misstep. Who knows if they were able to explain that in the future, but we'll never know. One of the other things, too, that I was discussing this with my wife, the Alan Scott Green Lantern version, his weakness is going to be wood. And I've talked about this before, is that he can, you know, do the construct of whatever it is he has in his mind. But apparently wood is the only thing that will not work. So you can throw a big stick at him and it will hurt him because he has no defense against wood. Oh, so the other thing, too, that they mentioned as I was doing the research is that if this movie had been produced the way the screenplay was done by Greg Berlanti, the Alan Scott character would have been played by Pierce Brosnan. All right, so the other thing that I found that was not in the script but was in the movie was Amanda Waller is part of Cadmus in the movie, whereas she's not even mentioned at all in the actual script. And the other scene that was kind of a major thing, if you watch Green Lantern, Senator Hammond, played by Tim Robbins, is in a helicopter, and it's a big sequence action scene in the movie. whereas and him flying in a helicopter. In the script, he is actually one of the pilots that gets in trouble. So his son Hector is still using his power, so to speak, but in the flight demonstration, that's when he, you know, mucks up the flight controls for his father, the senator. And that's when Green Lantern shows up to save the day. The other thing that I found pretty much interesting and what's lacking in the movie, and if you look back at, and they did make mention that they modeled Green Lantern after the Superman movie by Richard Donner. There are lots of different elements that I see, from the Lois and Clark relationship to the Hal Jordan and Carol Ferris relationship. Very Lois and Clark. But as like when Superman came to be and he got to save Air Force One, he got the cat out of the tree and the girl got smacked. I love that moment. You know, he does a day of Superman heroics. In the script, he does that. He has that kind of moment in which news reports are talking about this incredible man who's doing incredible stuff, saving people everywhere. In the movie, not so much. Almost nil. So it doesn't have that essence of, wow, it must be nice to, you know, have all these powers, but not care about the bigger picture, about suffering around the world. And it's just very minute to his own universe that's in front of him. That's, again, maybe that's why things like that didn't appeal to me, why this part didn't work. So let's get on to a couple of things real quick. So one of the reviews that I found, this is from the ScreenCrush.com website, and there's an article about what went wrong with Green Lantern. Well, there's a section about what went right. I'm going to quote them saying that the entire movie is in focus. So that's something. So that's great. It's focused. I'll give you that. The other thing, Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 26%, whereas the audience gave it a 45% rating. And to kind of compare that to last year's favorite movie to mine, which I'm sure everyone else does not like, Batman vs. Superman, that's okay. We have a 27%, so it's slightly better than Green Lantern, whereas the audience gave it a much higher rating of 64. So, again, I had no problems with Batman vs. Superman, whereas Green Lantern, yeah, I had a lot more problems just because of what my expectations were. So, nonetheless, that was interesting to find out. Okay, so I'm going to come back. I'm going to do a quick recap of everything I just talked about before I give my review. But I'm going to make you listen to the trailer of Green Lantern. So if I had to suffer watching the movie again, you're going to at least suffer a couple of minutes. So I'll be back in just one moment.
No. Sorry, I gotta run. Make yourself at home, okay? There's water in the tap.
Hal, you're late. This test today, it's important.
I'm gonna make you look good up there, don't worry. Now let's get these pants off and fly some planes. When I'm flying, it feels like anything is possible. Like, no matter how bad things get, there's something good out there, just over the horizon. The ring. It chose you. Use its power to defend our universe.
become one of us. Become a Green Lantern.
The ring said it was a great responsibility.
Responsibility? You?
Let's hope so.
Anything I see in my mind, I can create.
The one thing that a Green Lantern is supposed to be is fearless. That isn't me.
You had the ability to overcome fear.
Wow. I know, right?
What happens now?
You go look for trouble. Brightest day, blackest night.
Yeah, so going back to that whole oath thing, one of the things that kind of bugged me is that how he finally got to recite that. There was no, I don't know, message from the lantern itself. But in the screenplay, the actual words were appearing right above the actual lantern, so he would have to recite the oath. So I'm not sure if that was a good way to go with it, but again, they're going to go with a lot more comedic tones in this movie because of what Ryan can bring. And honestly, it does some justice to the comics, but only if you know the comics, then you can least appreciate what they're doing with the lanterns and the different characters from Sinestro to Aubyn Sur. You really have to be a diehard fan to do this. So, all right, so let me get back into recap because I don't want to talk about this being a bad thing. All right, so production-wise, there are a lot of problems from the production. Right off the bat, even before they even got to produce, was that, you know, Warner Brothers never had a clear idea of what to do with this project, considering, you know, at this time, Marvel product, the DC, the Marvel Cinematic Universe is really, you know, moving ahead and there's no stopping it. So for them trying to do their own movie was ambitious with a Green Lantern character, but it just did not work. I would be interested that had there been a John Stewart character who was African American, only if you know that from the animated series, and not Hal Jordan, that might have been something that would have pushed Marvel in a different way of playing catch up, meaning diversity. That's the one thing that, with Wonder Woman coming up, being the first female action superhero movie coming out, Marvel will do Captain Marvel, but that'll be about another year or so. That's the edge that DC will have to go in, is its diverse cast. So, again, I would have loved to have seen Jon Stewart. He's a great character. But again, they opted not to go with that, considering this was actually planned out for two sequels in addition to the Green Lantern movie. It would be nice to see something other than a white guy putting on the mask or putting on the ring or whatever. So, casting. Didn't really have an issue with the casting, considering the problems that I found out about Ryan. Again, I don't hate him as much for screwing up Green Lantern, because again, I know now the history behind that. As I mentioned, in the screenplay, the one thing that really stuck out to me was that there was more heroics, more action of him saving people around the world and doing things that, if he had all this power, you would want to do some good, not just be, again, stay in your neighborhood. So, and then the other thing too is that, knowing the Ryan Reynolds character that he portrays, being a smartass, in a lot of his movies and been, you know, being very snarky. That's his signature. So I thought that was kind of really weird until I saw the screenplay. I'm like, no, he was actually written that way. And then Ryan just kind of fit right in there. So again, I don't blame Ryan as much with the failure with Green Lantern. So, having watched the movie, was there anything good about this? Again, as I mentioned, if you're a Green Lantern fan, there were a lot of little Easter eggs, and one of them being when Carol and Hal, beginning of the movie, had flown together to fight against their saber jets. Her call sign is Sapphire, so who would have been later on Star Sapphire, who was the love/villainous to Hal Jordan if it had gone forward. So I thought that was kind of cool that they mentioned that, but not in the actual screenplay. So kudos to whoever did that, because that's something that, again, a little Easter egg that I appreciate being a DC and a comic book fan just because of what they were to put in there. Supposedly, and I have not seen this, but there's a Central City sign somewhere in the movie. I still haven't seen it, but if that's in there, again, suggesting that the Flash is going to be in a future movie, but or at least acknowledge the universe expanding beyond just where it is. And then, of course, bringing in Amanda Waller, I thought that was kind of cool. Even though it was like a couple of days after they already started production, so it seems to be like an afterthought. But again, she's part of Cadmus. She's a very big character, not utilized, because that's the other thing. So that was going to the bad side, is that there was no use for her other than mentioning the fact that there's Cadmus and she's her name being familiar with people in the DC universe. That's it. And, of course, there's way too much focus on CGI. The whole planet Oa is a complete mess. Even on, I have a decent enough screen, 50-inch screen, and I'm watching it, and the CG is just so, it's not detailed enough. So a lot of things are so muddled, and you're trying to look at all the different Green Lanterns, and you can just barely make out maybe one or two in the front row, but it doesn't do anything more than that. The big thing was the costume. The big focus is having that to be computer generated. I think that also was problematic. I didn't see the need for it, other than, sure, it kind of looked good. Ish to have the fluctuating green power within the background, but I would have been fine with the original Green Lantern costume. You know, the black with the green boots, white gloves, lantern symbol in the middle, the mask, if you want to put the mask on, which, again, I will give him credit for, because Carol says, you know, I've seen you naked, so having a stupid mask to cover up your cheekbones does not make it so that it's, I don't know who you are. I know who you are, so at least that works. Parallax, not much of a villain other than him trying to get revenge for being in prison in the Lost Sector, I guess. But it just reminded me too much like a Fantastic Four, the Rise of the Silver Surfer, the Galactus character, the Eater of Worlds, is kind of shapeless and formless. He's like this space clown. And, you know, other than his giant head, a lot of it is going to be kind of like this cloud. And, you know, they tried to go for that whole, in the climax with him kind of going through the cityscape, and like they brought up 9/11. They thought it was a pretty, I guess, ominous image of having this cloud of smoke coming through the buildings and surrounding the buildings and covering everything. Well, they try to do that with the Parallax character with his, again, he's formless, so the black clouds and smoke are going everywhere. And that's what that thought process was, but it didn't do much of anything. And then the showdown from between Hal and Parallax, him being chased to the sun to kind of draw him in. And, okay. But, you know, it just didn't do much of anything. And then the whole thing with Hector and him being this massive cranium, I'm like, really? That's what you're going to go with? I'm going to make you with a big head and give you mind control. Okay. I think the major problem that I had, and this is one sequence out of the whole movie that I had a major problem. As I mentioned before, the helicopter scene with Senator Hammond, one, why would you put a helicopter that close to a reception party? Makes no sense whatsoever. Two, as things are going and he's leaving and he's going up in a helicopter, Hector, you know, of course, being pissed off at his dad, starts screwing up with the controls of the helicopter. Now, of course, Jordan's already there and he sees stuff is going on and the helicopter is going out of control. And it's not until it literally starts to crash down does he go into action. So that just blew my mind about he's there, he is waiting, and then until it crashes, then he goes into action. So who the hell edited this? And I looked it up. It's Stuart Bard. Stuart Bard did a lot of good movies. He did Superman with Richard Donner, which again makes sense to hire the guy that edited that great movie. But then I remember what he did. He did Star Trek Nemesis, his last directorial, I won't say debut because he did two other movies, but his first and last Star Trek movie that he directed. If you've seen that and you're a Star Trek fan and you liked it, you're not a Star Trek fan. You are despicable. So I blame Stewart. I'm doing such a poor job on this movie, even though he did. He edited Skyfall. Skyfall's amazing. So I don't know what the hell is going on, but I blame Stewart for bad editing on that. So I gave you everything that I've learned, everything I watched and felt about. So what is my verdict? That's right. I was going to give it a pass, but having read everything that I've known, I don't hate Ryan as much for screwing up this property because it's not his fault. And of course, he redeemed himself in Deadpool. RIPD is still unforgivable. But still, Green Lantern is not worth your time. So return what you have stolen, which is almost 2 hours of my time. So you would only want to watch this movie because you had nothing else to do. Like you couldn't find a remote and your TV was on. That's the only reason. So it makes no sense to go to the library, to go to Redbox, to stream it, to do anything. It is not worth your time anymore. If you want to see a good movie on the Green Lantern, watch the animated version. I think it came out in 2009 with David Boreanaz, who was Hal Jordan as the Green Lantern. Much better production, much better storytelling, better pace of everything. So, again, DC does great animated movies, but really is lacking behind in their movies that are this bad. So, again, hopefully Wonder Woman and Justice League this year will make up for a rough start that they had last year. But nonetheless, don't do yourself a favor and rewatch Green Lantern. So that does it for this first episode of the rewatch series of the Monster Sci-Fi Show. I am planning to do another one in 2 months, but the next podcast is going to be another series, which is the Versus series. So this is going to be coming out hopefully in March before Kong Skull Island. So I'm doing a Versus. So the original King Kong movie versus the 1976 King Kong versus the 2005, if I remember correctly. So it's a triple action versus movie comparison. So I'll be talking about what's great about each one, acting, story, music, everything. So look for that coming out in March. I don't know what the next rewatch movie will be, but it depends on you. Maybe you guys should tell me what I should rewatch. So you can email me at themonstersci-fi show@gmail.com. You can find me on the various social sites. Please, I would love to hear your thoughts about this. Am I wrong about Green Lantern? Am I wrong about Reynolds? Let me know. I would love to talk about this. So thank you very much for listening to me and the Monster Sci-Fi Show. Sci-fi, from a certain point of view. Good night.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.